Chapter 28. But when I came near Sugini, I halted the multitude. And I exhorted them not to be impetuously carried away by their anger, especially in this case involving irremediable retributions. Then I directed 100 of their principal men, who were already advanced in age, to prepare to travel to the city of the Jerusalemites in order to place blame on the populace for generating seditions in the country. I declared, if they are moved by your words, request that the commonality write to me with orders directing me to remain in Galilee, but Jonathan's party to withdraw from there. After I had given these instructions, and they had quickly prepared themselves, on the third day after the assembly, I also sent them off with 500 heavy-armed soldiers. But I also wrote to my friends in Samaria to provide them safe passage. For Samaria was now subject to the Romans, and it was absolutely necessary for anyone who wanted to quickly travel to Jerusalem to pass through that country. From Galilee, it was possible to reach it in 3 days by using this route. Now, I accompanied the elders as far as the border of Galilee, posting guards on the road to make it difficult for anyone to notice their departure. So when I had done this, I dwelt at Yafia. Now Jonathan's party, having failed miserably in their venture against me, dismissed Yohanan to Gish Halav. But they themselves went to the city of the Tiberians, expecting to have it at their mercy. And at about this time, Yeshua, the chief, had written to them, messaging that he would persuade the multitude to welcome them if they came, and to choose to join with them. Therefore, they indeed set out with such hopes. But Silas, whom I had left as curator of Tiberias, sent me a message by letter telling me about these things and requesting that I hurry there. I quickly complied with his advice and went there. And I exposed myself to the risk of destruction for the following reason. Jonathan's party had arrived among the Tiberians and persuaded many who were at variance with me to rebel against me. When they heard about my arrival, they were anxious about their own safety. So they came to me and gave their salutations. They began to say that I was fortunate for my exemplary conduct of affairs in Galilee. They also professed to be delighted at the honor in which I was held, for they claimed that my reputation was an ornament to them, since they had been both my teachers and fellow citizens. They also kept saying that they preferred my friendship to Yohanan's. And indeed, they were eager to return home, but they would wait until they had placed Yohanan at my mercy. And while saying these things, they swore by the most dreadful oaths known to us. So, I considered it improper to disbelieve them. And because the next day was a Sabbath, they requested that I take up my lodging elsewhere. but they professed that the city of the Tiberians should not be burdened. So, I suspected nothing and departed for Tarikea. I left some men behind in the city to discover anything that was being said about us. But along the entire road from Tarikea to Tiberias, I posted many others so that they might relay to me any information obtained from those left behind in the city. Therefore, on the following day, everyone gathered together into the prayer house, a large building incapable of accommodating a large crowd. Now Jonathan went in. Indeed, he did not dare to speak openly of defection, but said that their city had need of a better general. But Yeshua the chief held back nothing and said plainly,
"Citizens, it is better to submit to four men rather than to one, especially to those of such illustrious ancestry and renown for their wisdom."
Now he indicated Jonathan's party. At this, Eustace came forward, commending him for what he had said, and persuaded some of the populace. But the multitude was not convinced by what he had said, and they would certainly have proceeded to a riot had not the meeting been dissolved at the arrival of the sixth hour, at which time it is lawful for us to have lunch on the Sabbaths. So Jonathan's party adjourned the council until the next day, leaving without success. Now when a message concerning these things was immediately brought to me, I determined to go to the city of the Tiberians in the morning. And on the following day, I arrived there from Tarikea at about the first hour. But on my arrival, I found the multitude already gathering in the prayer house. But those who were gathering together did not even know why there was a meeting. Now when Jonathan's party unexpectedly saw me present, they were quite disturbed. At this, they schemed to spread an account that Roman cavalry were seen on the frontier at a place called Homonoia, which means harmony, at a distance of 30 stadia from the city. And when a message was brought to me about these things, Jonathan's party kept appealing to me not to remain idle while their land was being plundered by the foe. But their objective in saying these things was to remove me out of the way on the pretext of an urgent call for aid, while they would set about changing things to make sure that the city was established as an enemy against me. Now, although I was fully aware of their design, I nevertheless complied, so that I would not give the Tiberians the impression that I was failing to provide for their security. Therefore, I set out. And when I arrived at the place, I found no trace of the foe. So I returned as fast as I could. And I found the whole council already gathered together, along with the crowd of the populace. Jonathan's party was also making a violent accusation against me that I was someone who, while living in luxury, indeed neglected to lighten their monetary share of the war for them. While saying these things, they produced four letters purported to have been written to them by those on the Galilean frontier, appealing to them to come to their aid, since a Roman force of both cavalry and infantry was about to plunder their country on the third day. They begged them to both hasten there and not to remain idle. When the Tiberians heard these things, which they believed to be true, they kept making outcries against me, saying,
"He should not be sitting down there. Instead, he should go off and give assistance to those of our own kind."
Since I perceived the designs of Jonathan's party, I stated that I would indeed readily comply, and messaged that I would rush into the war without delay. But at the same time, I counseled them, "Since the documents indicate that the Romans will strike at four different locations, we should divide the force into five units and appoint Jonathan's party and his companions over each of these. For it is fitting for good men not only to give counsel, but instead, in case of pressing need, to lead the way in providing aid." I declared, "For it is not possible for me to lead more than one unit." The multitude concurred with my counsel. Therefore, they compelled them to go out for the battle. But because what I had plotted had outgeneraled these men's undertakings, causing their intentions to be proved ineffective, they suffered extreme embarrassment. Now one of them was a wicked and mischievous man named Hananiah. He proposed to the multitude that a public fast before God be appointed on the following day. And he directed that, at about the same hour and in the same place, they should appear openly before God, unarmed. That, if they were not able to receive assistance from him, all weaponry would be useless. But he did not say these things out of piety. Instead, he said them for the purpose of catching me and my friends unarmed. I complied out of necessity, so that I would not appear to disdain a pious admonition. Therefore, as soon as we had withdrawn to our own places, indeed, Jonathan's party wrote to Johanan, directing him to come to them the next morning with as many soldiers as possible, for he could immediately have me at his mercy and do whatever he desired. Now when Johanan received this letter, he prepared to act accordingly. Now on the following day, I directed two of my bodyguards, who were the most esteemed in manliness and had proven their faithfulness, to conceal daggers under their clothes, so that if an attack was made by our enemies, he would have a means of defense, and to go forward with me. But I myself took a breastplate and strapped a saber underneath to be as inconspicuous as possible. Then I went into the prayer house. Now therefore, Yeshua the chief, for he had posted himself by the doors, indeed gave orders that all the men who were with me should be kept out, but only allowed me and my friends to enter. Now, while we were performing our lawful duties and directing ourselves to prayers, Yeshua stood up and began to interrogate me about the furniture and the uncoined silver which had been taken from the royal palace after it was burned, and which individual had them in his possession. Now he said these things only because he wanted to occupy the time until Yohanan's arrival. I said, Capella and the 10 principal men of the Tiberians have everything. But question them, I declared. I am not lying. Now they said,
yes, with us.
But he said,
and the 20 gold pieces which you received from the sale of a certain stash of uncoined silver, what has become of that?
And I declared, I gave these as traveling expenses to their elders who had been sent to Jerusalem. Indeed, Jonathan's party declared,
he has not acted properly by paying the envoys out of the public fund.
Now these statements provoked the multitude, for they now detected the wickedness of these men. And I realized that a sedition was about to be ignited. So, wishing to further irritate the populace against these men, I said, yet instead, if I did not act correctly, by paying your elders from the public fund, cease from your bitterness, for I shall pay back the 20 gold pieces myself. When I had said these things, indeed, Jonathan's party fell silent. But the populace grew even more provoked against them by this obvious demonstration of unrighteous ill will toward me. Now when Yeshua observed their upheaval, he indeed directed the populace to withdraw, but requested that the council remain, for it was impossible to conduct a careful examination of such actions amid such a tumult. But as the populace was crying out that they would not leave me alone with them, a private message was brought to Yeshua's party, stating that Yohanan was approaching with his heavy-armed soldiers. And at this, Jonathan's party was unable to restrain themselves any longer. And this was God's foresight, in order to procure my salvation. For if it was not for this turn of events, I would have undoubtedly been utterly destroyed by Yohanan. And Jonathan declared,
O Tiberians, stop this interrogation about 20 gold pieces. It is not because of these that Joseph deserves to die, but because he is aspiring to be a tyrant and to seize the dominion for himself over the Galilean multitudes by deceiving them with his words.
And while he was saying these things, they suddenly laid their hands on me and kept trying to do away with me. But when my companions saw what was happening, they drew their sabers and threatened to strike if anyone offered violence. But as the populace picked up stones and was rushing to throw them at Jonathan, my companion snatched me away from the violence of my foes. But I had not proceeded far when I almost encountered Johanan, who was advancing with his heavy-armed soldiers. Indeed, I anxiously turned aside, but was saved through a narrow passage to the lake. Then I seized a boat and embarked, crossing over to Tarikea. This was how I unexpectedly escaped this danger. At once, I summoned the principal men of the Galileans and told them how, after suffering a breach of faith by Jonathan's party in the Tiberians, that I had been very nearly utterly destroyed by them. Now the Galilean multitude became angry at these things and kept appealing to me to delay no longer in making war against them, but instead to authorize them to proceed against Johanan and to completely obliterate him along with Jonathan's party. But despite their anger, I kept restraining them and directed them to wait patiently until we were able to learn what message would be brought back from the elders whom they had sent to the city of the Jerusalemites. For I declared that the appropriate course was for them to act in accord with the decision of those people. And these things were able to persuade them. Also, at this time, Johanan, having failed to accomplish his ambush, returned to Gish Halav.